The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
Hello and happy Friday to you. This is Grace in Focus, and I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you for joining us. We're currently on part number 6 of our series, The 10 Plagues of Egypt, and it's been very interesting. We're joined by our special guest, David Renfro, Old Testament scholar, and we're learning a lot. Now, before we get to today's discussion, I'd like to remind you about our upcoming National Bible Conference. You can find out more about this conference by going to our website, faithalone.org. Click on Events up at the top, and you can learn everything you need to know. You can even register right there on the site. Well, let's go right to today's discussion with Dr. Bob Wilkin, David Renfro, and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
All right, welcome to Grace in Focus. My name's Sean Lazar.
Hi, I'm Bob Wilkin.
And we're in the studio, our very luxurious
fantastic.
It's a four-star studio with David Renfro. Thank you for being here.
Oh, it's good to be here.
David is, he's a regular contributor to our podcast, but you've only been here once before, but it was for a great series on the Psalms, and you should check that out on whatever platform you listen to Grace in Focus on. We're going over the 10 plagues of Egypt, and these are more than just kind of an interesting kind of episode, a dramatic episode in Israel's history. These plagues are full of theological significance, and David has kind of been walking us through what the theological significance and rationale of all these plagues are. We're going to start on the fifth plague today, and that's Exodus chapter 9. It starts off in this way, verse 1, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Go into Pharaoh and tell him, thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that they may serve me. For if you refuse to let them go and still hold them, behold, the hand of the Lord," was the finger of the Lord in the last episode, "will be on your cattle in the field, and the horses and the donkeys and the camels and the oxen, on the sheep, a very severe pestilence." So now God is going to be attacking their wealth.
Right. Wealth back in the ancient Near East was livestock.
Yeah.
The more cattle you had, the wealthier you were. But also, remember, we're in Egypt. So every one of these animals that are listed here are a god.
Okay.
We have to keep that in mind. Pretty much everything is a god in Egypt. And the hand of God, of course, is used quite a bit in the Bible. It also is the kind of the same figure of speech for the hand represents the entire power of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So this is another one of those figures of speech. Notice it says in verse 3, a very severe pestilence.
Right.
This is not going to be something that you get over in a day or so.
Yeah.
Because it's with livestock, some people have thought that it might be something similar to anthrax that you hear about nowadays.
Oh, boy.
Or it could be worse.
Yep.
It could be, you know, it just as the Lord created the previous animals, the insects and all that stuff, he could have easily have created a disease targeted specifically to the cattle and the livestock of Egypt.
And interestingly, once again, God now makes a difference between the Egyptian cattle and the cattle of the Hebrews.
Right. It says in verse 4, the Lord will make a difference. In other words, distinguish or treat differently between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt. So nothing shall die of all that belongs to the children of Egypt. The plague is on the Egyptians only.
And by the way, is there a significance to them being called Israel at this point?
Because they are descendants of Jacob, whose next name, of course, was Israel, you can almost use that as a figure of speech. Israel represents the Israelites.
Right.
Yeah, and by the way, that's a good point, because we tend to read this anachronistically. That is, we tend to think when he talks about the children of Israel that what he's speaking of is the nation of Israel.
Yeah, the citizens of the land.
Right, but they aren't yet a nation.
No.
They aren't yet in Israel. They are literally the children of someone whose name was Israel.
Yeah.
And so I think at this point, I agree with David, we should think the primary reference is to Jacob,
right,
the person called Israel. But the secondary reference, which is certainly underneath that, wouldn't you think, David, is we're leaving. No matter how hard this guy resists, You can already see the handwritings on the wall.
Right.
Israel's going whenever Pharaoh finally gives in.
Right.
He will give in, and Israel's going to go, and Israel, the children of Israel, will then become Israel.
Correct.
Even when they're in the wilderness and don't yet have their land, yet they are a nation traveling now.
Right.
So what's interesting here is it's like there's a curse of death. Death on the cattle. But God is promising to pass over the livestock of Israel.
What he's trying to do is to show Pharaoh now, and you're going to see this again later on in the next plagues as well. He's showing that Israel is special to him.
Yeah.
And implied in that, in my book, is if you want to be special in my book, obey me.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
And that is, I think, part of the implication of this thing.
Yeah.
But in order for you to learn it, you've got to go through this plague. And what we're going to do is it's a major deal to lose your savings, to lose your wealth.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what's going on here. This is more intense than the first three plagues, which ruin their daily lifestyle. Here, you're talking about a long-term problem for people in maintaining their lifestyle
it's
in Egypt.
It's economic destruction.
You're right.
It's almost like 1929 with the start of the worldwide depression, or 2008 with the collapse of the housing market and all the calamities that fell from that. This is a major economic downturn.
Right.
This is a depression.
Well, at least, but interestingly, so suddenly in verse 8, the Lord did this thing on the next day. All the livestock of Egypt died, but of the livestock of the children of Israel, not one died. Suddenly, now the slaves are the wealthiest people in the land because they're the ones who still have their cattle, which is their wealth. And the Egyptians have nothing. They've been reduced, at least their cattle wealth has been eliminated.
Yeah.
And this wasn't unknown to Pharaoh. Because Pharaoh sends out people to see what happened in Goshen.
Right. Yeah, see, look in verse 5, I love this because the Lord appointed a set time. Tomorrow it's going to happen.
Right.
And it's like, okay, at 9:30 in the morning, this plague is going to be on you. And that's what actually happened. And then, sure enough, it happened in verse 6. All the livestock of Egypt died. Now we're dealing with death, aren't we?
Yeah.
Yes.
And by the way, the magicians, I don't think the magicians appear here. The magicians have given up. Magicians of Pharaoh aren't trying to stop this or to reverse this. I don't even see them in this episode.
They may be there, but they are strangely quiet.
Yeah.
You know, we don't. But I think as a general rule, the magicians always were in Pharaoh's court.
Right.
To consult him with him and all that stuff.
Sure.
So they were probably there, but at this point, because they are failing, notice there's no hint that they even tried to replicate this one.
Mm-hmm.
This is a horrible one, but notice verse 7, Pharaoh sent, and indeed, not even one of the livestock of the Israelites was dead. And Pharaoh became a believer, right? Is that what it says?
There was a revival in the land.
No.
Not even close. It says, verse 7, heart of Pharaoh became hard, literally became heavy, and he did not let the people go.
Hmm.
So, at this point, he is hardening his own heart. In spite of what he sees, he is not going to believe.
Before we started into this series, and I've preached through the 10 plagues before, I took statements like this to mean God hardened his heart, and that where it specifically says Pharaoh hardened his own heart, then I took it that way. But I think because it doesn't say anything about God hardening his heart became hardened is a statement of the fact that because he was not responding to the evidence, he was ultimately allowing his own heart to become hardened.
Right.
I think until we get to a statement where it says God hardened his heart, well, then he's doing his own hardening.
Right. And we are going to see that in the sixth plague. But who are the gods that are involved here in Egypt? Do you have names for them?
Well, first of all, it actually is happening now in India. Remember how cows are sacred in Hindu?
Right.
Sure.
Well, in Egypt, bulls and cows were considered sacred.
Right.
In fact, this pharaoh, Amenhotep II, surpassed all his predecessors in his... He was a fanatic about this, in worship of animals, especially the bull. He is thus seen as the child and slave of the cow goddess. How would you like to be known? Yes, I'm a slave of the cow goddess. That doesn't sound...
And the cow goddess is his mother, he thinks?
He thinks. But see, that just shows how messed up how paganism can be so twisted.
Sure.
There are gods associated with bulls and cows. One of them is Hathor, H-A-T-H-O-R.
Yeah.
But I don't know how an Egyptian can do this. Maybe somebody can explain it. Hathor was the goddess of love, beauty, and joy, and was represented by a cow. I would love to hear an explanation, but I haven't found one to satisfy my curiosity. The other thing I think that this particular plague teaches is, once again, God's sovereignty. Here, God's sovereign over health and sickness of animal life.
David, doesn't this foreshadow what's coming? I mean, if they don't respond properly to the death of their leading animals, you know, these aren't little
right.
animals. These aren't squirrels. These are cattle.
And they are gods.
Wouldn't you anticipate that this could ratchet up to the point where people start dying?
You would think that Pharaoh would be smart enough to realize, if I don't give in now, even worse things are on the horizon
humans. How many millions, if not billions of dollars has he just lost in modern equivalents?
And what about the Egyptian economy?
But right. Well, and, you know, I have to say this. Aren't we seeing something like that now? We've had 2 years of this pandemic, trillions of dollars lost.
Right.
I mean, millions of people died. I think it's like 2 million something. And I have not heard people around the world saying, we need to repent in dust and ashes and call out to God for help. I think most people have just kind of like, well, no, we can handle this. You know, we've got our own resources. I haven't seen like a huge religious outpouring or a change of mind or openness towards God. It just seems like people are just more determined just to make it on their own.
You know what I'd like to see? More believers pray to the Lord, just like what happened here, and say, Lord, show your power to everybody and make COVID go away tomorrow.
Right.
Because can he do that?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. And that's part of what we need to learn from these plagues is God can do anything with his creation that he wants to. If he wants to get rid of COVID tomorrow, he doesn't even have to speak. It's done.
Yeah.
But I think we as believers in him need to pray that we know that he can, and let's all pray that he does, because he hears the prayers of his people.
Mm. That's a good point.
Thank you, David. And keep on listening as we continue this series through the plagues that were put on Egypt.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Our goal is to teach Scripture clearly and without confusion. One of the best tools for gaining that clarity, we believe, is our website. It's faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On our site, we have all kinds of materials that are designed to help you mature and grow in your faith and your understanding of Scripture. Please come visit us at faithalone.org. You'll be glad you did. God loves a cheerful giver, and that's why we think our financial partners are the happiest people of all. If you'd like to learn how to become a financial partner with Grace in Focus, we would very much appreciate it. You can learn more at faithalone.org. It's really exciting to hear from our listeners. So if you've got a question, comment, or feedback, I hope you'll reach out to us. Best way to do that is through email. Here's our email address. It's radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Well, we hope you have a wonderful weekend. We look forward to being back with you on Monday. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society. And until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.